welcome to Film Fan Flashback Face Off.
That's right. Film Flashback Face Off, as it is properly known.
What's up, people? I'm Richie.
I'm Jim.
Carl.
Jason.
And I'm Ray.
And what are we doing this week on the show?
Beetlejuice 2.
We got an early screening, so surprise to everybody out there.
I can't wait for that fucking movie to come out.
If only.
But no, we're not doing that. We're doing Top Secret.
We're doing Top Secret. We're not doing Top Secret. We're doing Top Secret.
Top Secret.
With the exclamation point. Yes, Top Secret. Yeah.
Gotta keep it quiet, but
it's
loudly.
It's a Zsasz film. Zucker, Abram Zucker.
Wow.
Produced, of course, they produced Airplane. Then they did not produce Airplane 2, the sequel.
The sequel.
But then they came back and they wanted to do, and they wound up doing a combination Elvis World War II movie.
Yeah.
Elvis
Airplane,
movie.
Airplane 2, the sequel, is not bad.
No. And they shit the bed. I mean, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This is a movie that came out in 1984. 1984 was the year this came out. I was a big fan of this movie. Apparently the public was not as much as me, but also 90 minutes of jokes, as we all know, that Airplane style movie, they just pack them in.
See, that's again, perfect timing. That all movies should be that.
That's my very first thing I liked about this. Put it 91 minutes, underlined it.
Yeah. It starred, of course, Val Kilmer as Nick Rivers.
Young Val.
And a gaggle of a bunch of other people. Lucy Goodridge, who played Hilary Flamond. And then their intention for this movie was not to fill it with famous people like they did with Airplane.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant humor.
Oh, dude.
They should have.
I'm sorry.
We're going to make a movie that's not going to be...
The public was onto something by hating this movie.
This movie, just a little tangent about that little comment Richie made. I was watching a clip of Jiminy Glick interviewing Larry David.
Fucking love Jiminy Glick.
That's an old clip. And I haven't seen it in a while. And you rarely see Larry David laughing as hard as he does during that interview.
Because
Jiminy Glick is talking to him about Fridays, the show that he wrote and produced.
Yeah. Right.
And he goes, "What? Why did you call it Fridays?" And he goes, "You know how Saturday Night Live was funny?" Jiminy Glick goes, I'm telling you, Martin Short is so fast and quick.
Oh, man.
When he does that character.
Yeah. Jiminy Glick, he had some great fucking interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
he would do the most random stuff, too. He'd make almost every single guest break because he would just jump on the couch or start eating like a donut mid set when they're talking about something serious, and where he would ask the stupidest questions just out of nowhere. I loved Jiminy Glick, man. It was so funny.
Underrated.
Big time.
Also, do you think Galifianakis ripped him off
Between Two Ferns too. I was just gonna say that, but that's he did it first.
Yeah.
So, but of course, getting back to Top Secret, this movie had an $8.5 million budget and raked in a cool $20.5 million.
That's better than I thought.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't lose money.
It's not bad.
It did not make that much money either.
Well, not a lot of options probably out either. Let's go see the movie.
For that time, it was. It made money.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, for a film of that budget, but compared to Airplane, which had a smaller budget
and funny,
that was a phenomenon. Yes, that was a
and funny.
Well, I remember Airplane. I remember reading a review of Airplane in the New York Daily News, by Rex Reed. And he was reviewing the movie and completely panning it. And he describes the scene when they talk about shit hitting the fan, and then it does. And the, and that made me want to see the movie.
Yes.
I said, man, I got to see
this. That's a good thing.
Right?
Rex Reed's a
Rex Reed was.
So Airplane was literally just from another actual Airplane movie.
Airplane parodied the airport movies.
Right. I mean, dialogue and everything.
Yeah, there was
funny as hell.
There were, you know, a series of movies based on airplane disasters. And right. I don't know if any of them were Boeing. But the door did come off one in airport.
Careful.
In airport 77. When the plane hits the jumbo jet and the pilots get sucked out of the hole and the stewardess has to fly the plane.
Yeah, I won't be watching it.
And then you had the one airport movie where the plane crashes in the ocean and sinks underwater and they have to save the people underwater.
Yeah,
sounds cool.
But this was not that. This was based on it. This is a weird hybrid movie. If they, you know, well, before we get into that, let's just talk about, let's get the reaction of people who haven't seen this movie before we give the reaction of people who have.
All right.
Who wants to start off?
Go ahead, Ray.
You want me to go?
Yeah.
You know, Ray has fucking notes.
Yeah.
He's the only one who fucking, look at him. He does homework.
Because
I'm fucking write shit down.
I'm gonna go on a rant about this movie. But I want to hear what Ray pointed out for
his notes. I mean, the notes aren't really notes. It's just things I noticed throughout the movie. I'm like, what's that about?
So do you have a flashlight pen, like from Fidelity when you're watching it?
Yeah, he's on that date. She's pulling out every time.
That is a pull.
That's what I feel like. Yeah.
Oh man, that is a pull. Richard.
That's funny. Yeah, this movie, I knew it was going to be terrible going into it because it's farce. Farce is just, it's just not funny anymore. I don't think it ever was all that funny. There were a couple parts that did get me. Some of it was just so weird. Like, it just made no sense. Like the skeet surfing at the very beginning, the 12 gauges and surfboards. I was like, okay, all right. They did a lot of old, like, Hollywood vaudeville-type tropes, you know, exploding cigars, and just, like, it was very old feeling in that sense. That was really kind of interesting. I didn't really understand. Yeah, you said it was World War II, but I was like, is it the Cold War? Like, it was, like,
yeah, East Germany. It was weird that they took East Germany but made them, like, Nazis.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I don't know when this is taking place, okay. So there's that. Obviously, you know, I know a little German, and
right, oh my god,
that made me laugh. I was like, okay, that was a good
one. Funny.
Yeah, that was funny. That was good. There was like only a couple parts like that, but the rest of it was just kind of hard to watch. Val Kilmer, though, man, that guy can dance, and he was a handsome fella. He had that Ace Ventura. I think he's like movie. He had like that. I think it was how Ace Ventura got his hair cut. So he had like he was probably the inspiration for the Ace Ventura hair.
I can see that.
Very similar. The male ballet dancers with these weirdly shaped boners. That was interesting. I was like, okay. I noticed that the one doctor, Dr. Paul, he's Alfred from Batman, in the Batman movies. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Dr. Flamand.
Yeah, that's it.
Who made the desalination machine. Do you understand what this will do to the starving people of the world? Yeah, they'll have enough salt to last forever.
that was a good one.
When he's digging the tunnel, you just see a spoon come out and drop dirt, and then Nick sticks his head in, and it's the Holland Tunnel.
Yeah. Oh, I think
I was almost done with my tunnel.
Now I remember. There's a couple cool scenes, like the library scene I thought was really well done. You know, obviously it's in reverse.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. The whole underwater saloon fight was pretty good. Like, I thought that was great. One thing that did make me laugh too was the cow with boots on. He's like, meow. Like that when he was like mooing. It's like, meow. I don't know if I can remember how it went, but
when the calf, when the calf comes over and starts
going down on
why
him.
Why is he such a hurry? Like, what the? Why are you always in a hurry all the time?
The only black guy in the movie was called Chocolate Mousse.
Yeah.
Chocolate Mousse.
Well, the whole French resistance thing got me. Yeah.
They were pretty, not bad.
A souffle.
Déjà vu.
Déjà vu.
Chocolate.
Have we met, monsieur? I don't know if this was the first movie to break the first wall, a fourth wall, I'm sorry, the fourth wall, where they look at the camera like they're on a movie.
Oh, no.
I don't know if they were the first to do that or not. They mentioned L. Ron Hubbard. At one point,
I was gonna say, like, didn't Charlie Chaplin do that? Didn't he break the fourth wall?
Like where he talks to the camera, like
or that, just maybe. Looks at it.
Well, he does that one where he's like making fun of Hitler, the dictator,
the great dictator.
Yeah, and then the Pinto exploding.
Yeah,
he barely touches.
Ding.
Boom.
that was like, funny because. That. I was going to say that was funny because that shit was true.
Yeah. Like, was real. I think we were watching it together and I was like, you know, that really used to happen. I remember that with my childhood. Like that was like a real fear of those cars.
Yeah.
So, like that's like would not go over well today if you didn't know that, you know. So I had a
friend who had one and it happened to him.
Oh, my God.
Backed into a wall.
Scary.
Yeah.
Shit almost
blew up on him.
That's awesome.
But. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot
everything,
of dance
everything
numbers.
You said makes me like this movie.
I don't see the problem.
Those were the pros.
I was gonna say if fucking anybody who can find a silver lining is fucking Carl.
Yeah, I mean that was definitely
I don't see the
parts
either.
I enjoyed. But overall, I mean, it was hard to watch. Like it's just so dumb and like it's a slog to get through it. I mean, thankfully it's only the 91 minutes and. It's just so dumb. And there's a lot of like dancing and singing. And I'm like, that's just filler. Like they just put this filler in because they just really didn't have a movie.
Yeah.
They make it all. Make
Elvis
it up to
movies he sang.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. That makes sense. Yeah. But overall. Yeah,
how do we know you're not Mel Torme?
Oh, and the whole, they ripped off Blue Lagoon at one point too.
That's,
you know, yes, I was like,
I was wondering if you would get that.
Yeah, they tried real
I
hard.
I didn't
that
actually.
Blue Lagoon reference.
Eden pointed it out to me. She's like, "Oh, that's that movie." I'm like, "What one movie?" She's like, "That Brooke Shields movie." I'm like, "What Brooke Shields movie?" And I had to look it up. And I was like, "Oh, okay, now
I've never seen Blue Lagoon."
No, isn't that sad? Yeah, no, I haven't seen.
Well,
that just
the
made
list.
The fucking list.
I've seen that movie.
It's vetoed. Jay's seen it.
I've seen.
I'm not sure if I've seen that.
Oh no! That, yeah,
it's
you're
terrible.
Definitely.
I'll never watch this again. But yeah, I saw it. That's it for now. So Jay, you're up.
All right, Jay.
On your rant.
I have it's gonna be hard for me to find any silver lining with this movie. Very hard to watch. I think the problem with this is I understand it was from the producers of Airplane, and I was expecting to be kind of like an Airplane type
and
comedy.
Police Squad.
Okay, and Police Squad. But the problem with this movie was the timing. The comedic timing was not there. With Airplane, you had shit hits the fan, a piece of shit hits the fan. You had, you know, the old lady speaking jive. Everything was timed perfectly with Airplane.
Jive. Chumpa don't want the help. Chumpa don't get the help.
Yeah.
Tell me some slack, Jack.
This movie had
my mama didn't raise no dummy. I dug her rep.
but that's what I'm saying, though. Like, that scene was perfect. This movie was just trying to throw as many like slapstick shit together just to like try to make it funny, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Like him on the train going into, you know, East Germany, they showed like Pac-Man. I'm like, this has no relevance to the movie at all. Or
it was the just map.
Yeah, the map. It was like, why is there a Pac-Man reference in here? And then they pushed so hard on the Blue Lagoon. And I was just like, okay.
Pac-Man was very popular at the time.
Yeah, but it was just very, it was all over the place, like all over the place. And the timing was terrible on it. The only time I laughed was, chuckled was when the Frenchman resistance were saying their names. I kind of chuckled a little bit. But other than that, I was like, they're just trying to fill in as much as possible. I thought the underwater corral scene was dumb. I'm like, why is this?
I thought it was impressive,
the filming of it, not the relevance.
I could not wait for this movie to end. The whole time I'm watching it, I'm just like shaking my head. I'm like, this movie's awful. Like,
I can see Jay just sitting there going, what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to be a hot take, but this movie is worse than Buckaroo Banzai. I want to say it right
now. Wow. This one, yeah. I feel like it has a little more.
I was expecting to be like Airplane or like a Mel Brooks type film, and it just did not.
It shit the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, if they had better timing on it, the Pinto scene was not, I kind of chuckled at that one too.
Right. There were flashes of funny.
But like I said, there's no time.
Come on. When he's in jail, marking the wall. I've been in here 20 minutes already.
Yeah. Like you're just constantly waiting for like, they set it up like it's a real press, like something believable and real, and then you're just waiting for like, okay, where's the joke coming?
Yeah,
it's like, it's coming. The giant and it's
like
phone.
You're constantly looking. like I said, just waiting. It's like
I said,
this is like rapid fire. Like,
yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was rapid fire, like joke after joke, but there was no timing. You have to have timing with these types of jokes, especially if it's slapstick. This movie didn't have it, and that's
it started
why
off well. Like with the German on top of the train, he's standing there and it goes through the bridge. I'm like, okay. Like, but it like led up to it. There was like a good.
Just got ridiculous. And I'm just like, what's the point of some of these jokes? They're just trying to fill in as much as they can.
Be ridiculous.
But it was overly ridiculous. Like I said, if it had better timing, it would have been funnier, but the timing wasn't there with the jokes.
Smell my flower.
Less dumb joke.
It never fails to amuse.
Maybe your timing wasn't right, Jay.
Probably not.
No.
Fuck
that. It was not Jay.
This one was hard to watch, man. Like there's
it was hard.
It was hard to watch because there's so much.
You forgot your fake dog poop. What fake dog poop?
And then they're like in a 50s diner, like in Berlin. It's like in London too. Like it's supposed to take place in the 40s. Like, what the hell are they doing here? He's dancing, he's singing the rug song, and he's just like sliding on a bunch of rugs, which is like, I guess, you know, I get what they're trying to do there, but I'm just like, pick a lane, people. Like they could have timed these jokes way better.
Val Kilmer sang all those songs himself.
Hey, that's pretty Val Kilmer though. He did knock that role out of the park because I'm sure he was like, his agent was like, you need something, man. This can be your big break. And this movie was probably his big break, even though how terrible it was. Val Kilmer was so good in it.
He, even though he's been in a lot of things, I've always loved him best in comedies. He didn't do that many of them, but he had perfect comic timing.
In this movie.
He's an incredible actor, man. Like he does it all. Like, this movie shows his range.
Well, there's incredible actors who can't do comedy.
But he can do it. Yeah. But I'm not blaming his role. I'm blaming the overall quality and timing of the jokes of the movies. It was the movie that kind of threw it off for me. Not Val Kilmer. But yeah, that's just
terrible writing.
Yeah. I didn't think it was funny. If you're comparing it to Airplane, you're going to be like, this movie's trash. Like you just can't compare it to the two because they're just completely same type of concept, but the movies couldn't be more different. So I would never watch this movie again. Sorry.
Well done, sir. You know what? I'll go next because it'll be quick.
Because you're going to go next and then me and Carl will hit you with a few truth bombs.
So 84, this might've been funny. 2024, not funny. It was hard to rewatch. There were things that like, I remember, and I was like, wow, this was way funnier when I watched it the first time, but it doesn't hold up to me. That's it. It was, and I love Val Kilmer and I think he's great. Like Real Genius is still one of my favorite movies he's ever done.
That's a great movie.
You know, it's rare that I watch a Val Kilmer movie that I don't like. And this just it just doesn't hold up. To me, anyway. I watched it again. I was like, you gotta fucking be kidding me. So.
Well, let me read you a quote.
Much like Jay, I could not fucking wait until this was over. I was like, what are we doing?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, let me read you a quote from David Zucker. who talked about this movie. He said,
David Zucker.
He said, why don't you wait until I read the until I read the quote?
Okay. Fair enough. Go ahead.
The lesson we took from Airplane was just fill up 90 minutes with jokes and you have a movie. With Top Secret, it's very funny, but it really isn't a good movie. It really didn't have a plot or real characters or real structure.
I agree, but fuck him. Like, still fuck him anyway. I agree with him 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, I disagree because I love this movie. I've seen it.
You go last, Jim.
But you love Buckaroo Banzai.
I'll go last. I will go last. There's plenty of people who love Buckaroo Banzai, pal.
You and six others.
I don't love it. It's no Airplane. And if you guys don't like this, you should definitely not watch their first movie, Kentucky Fried Movie.
Also a cult classic movie.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Yeah, it came out around the same time as the Groove Tube.
I've heard of that.
It's before Airplane.
Wow. Oh, well before Airplane.
Dude, this made Breakin' look good.
Breakin', they had some dance moves. the guy with the broom on the street corner. Breakin' look
good. This movie made Dracula Dead and Loving It look good.
No,
that was a good movie.
Nothing can help Dracula Dead and Loving.
No, this was better. Dracula Dead and Loving is way better.
Yeah, I agree.
That was a good movie compared to this.
I can't wait to tell Chris about this.
It could be a nice dash of nostalgia again, but I like it. I love the Zuckers. They changed comedies for a long time, and this is part of it. And
look, this is just a swing
and
a miss.
It's not as good as Airplane.
It drags in certain parts of the movie.
It does.
Really drags. Some of the jokes don't work that well, and I think that's because of the mix of genres. Like, I think they would have been better served to just make it a World War II movie or make it an Elvis movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe,
They should have brought in like an actual like big time comedian in this movie, kind of like what they did with Airplane, because Leslie Nielsen is like amazing.
He was not a comedian.
He was not a comedian when he made Airplane. He was a dead serious actor.
But the way he brings that movie together, they needed to bring in somebody like that to this movie.
I agree.
Because they could have made it funnier. They could have added like their own spin to some of the jokes. To me, it would have made the movie better. So I think
And to your point, Carl, just because get an at bat doesn't mean you're fucking going yard every time you fucking put out a movie. Okay, this was a swing and a miss.
Yeah, but it
is. I don't know if it was a miss.
It has charm. I think it has more good jokes than not.
Come on.
It's not a home run.
He got hit by a pitch. If he got on base,
there's plenty.
If he could make it to the base.
If he made it to the base at all, he got hit by a pitch.
There's plenty of funny jokes in this movie. It's like jokes I still like I quoted the last time when we talked about it. And Hillary says what her name means, and she goes, "What's your name?" And he goes, "Nick." He goes, "What does that mean?" "Oh, nothing. My father just thought of it when he was shaving." Come on, man. That is funny.
Especially because you love shaving.
But it's like the delivery, too. Like, the movie didn't have really star. Val Kilmer was great, but this movie didn't have any star power. Like, all these other spoof movies have star power. They have at least a handful of actors or comedians or whatever that bring the movie, take the movie up a notch. This movie didn't have it, that's why I'm saying.
I know it was filled with character actors, which is what this movie, what you want in a movie this type.
Well, I it didn't resonate with me, so I'm just saying, swing and a miss, in my opinion. But
what can
you already said that. It's Jim's turn.
someone's a little sensitive, Carl. Yeah, you already said that. I love this movie.
No, I like this.
It's not as funny as Airplane. I understand that. but I still think it has its charms, and I still think it has really stupid, funny jokes. And
all right,
yeah, you know, the stupidest ones are the ones that made me laugh. Like I said, the guy digging the tunnel with a fucking spoon, and then you see it's a toe. The forced perspective phone that when he walks up to it, it becomes actually a giant phone. Him sitting at the desk and standing up, and his legs are still crossed on top of the desk. And the French Resistance, that group.
That was funny.
That was good.
And the backward scene and the water scene, you guys mentioned.
And you remember who was in the backward scene? That's Peter Cushing.
Alfred.
Grand Moff Tarkin himself.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, good catch.
For a second. Yeah.
Yeah, but Jim, does it make the phone?
Yes, this movie.
Oh, fuck. Get out of here.
I have it.
Oh.
This is not phone worthy.
Oh, come on.
That's how we know.
I don't have it on my phone. It's not phone worthy.
Yes, because you don't have really good taste in movies, Rich.
I have great taste in movies. Sweet Home Alabama? That's a great movie. It's on my phone.
Sweet Home Alabama. Queen Latifah movie you love.
It's the last holiday. I have that as well.
Oh my God.
It's crazy too, because I love these types of movies like Hot Shots, Naked Gun,
yeah,
like Mel Brooks movies for the most part. Like, sign me up.
I'm sorry, but Hot Shots is pales in comparison to a movie like Airplane.
Well, yeah, it's not.
It's one of the sizes.
But I'm just saying, like, I'm all game for these types of films. Like, that's why this one just fell short.
The only thing I liked about Hot Shots is the very end when he's talking to Cary Elwes and he said, yeah, it's over by the crock pot. He says, no, that's not a crock pot. That's a chafing dish. He goes, I thought they were the same thing. He says, no, chafing dish is for serving food hot. Crockpots for cooking all day. And it just like came out of nowhere in that movie.
I haven't seen that movie for
That's your favorite.
Yeah. It's always something that stupid. Because
that is a pretty random quote.
That's good. I get it.
Yeah. They parodied a lot of things, and then in Hot Shots, Hot Shots Part Do.
Yeah.
With the Rambo.
I saw both of those movies in theaters. Crazy.
Oh, wow.
I was little.
I think I did too, actually.
Yeah, I will defend this movie. Let's see what it got. 76% positive reviews.
All right.
Bad reviews. The jokes leave you tickled, but never build to a comic crescendo. The result is a nonstop barrage of gags, many of them inspired and hilarious themselves, but scattershot in effect because the premise isn't sturdy or coherent enough to hold them together.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And then its positive ones were
it is positive.
Not even half as funny as Airplane, but still a lot more clever than most movie comedies today.
That's right.
A hit-and-miss comedy that benefits from its performances and smattering of hilarious set pieces. And it's no classic, but Top Secret is funny, good-natured, and with one exception, fairly clean.
You know, the boners in the ballet or the cow getting a blowjob?
And I think the cow with the boots, like the fact that they had the boots on.
Or the fake cow getting rammed by the other cow.
Yeah.
There's a few exceptions. Well, I think 1984 was a
when they're throwing the darts at the Allied, the circular bullseye on the plane, the Allied markings on the plane.
Yeah.
And Chocolate Bruce is throwing darts into it.
They're playing tic-tac-toe and they're shooting through the window.
Yes.
Like the little panel.
Yeah, it's great.
Stupid.
Or the grenade, the guy jumps on it, but it blows
everybody else blows up on it. Yeah. Oh, that one didn't quite work.
They're like this. It's like dad joke after dad joke, and like slight chuckles. It's like, you know, but it's not like there was like the laugh out loud ones was like the little German. I thought that was funny. Chocolate Mousse and like the rest of the resistance, and then part with the cow. That was really it.
So like 84, 85 monster years in film,
for sure.
Yeah, I get that for sure.
I think this just got way overshadowed.
Yeah, because 84, I mean, what was probably the top comedy that year? Revenge of the Nerds, maybe?
I don't know what
else. Sounds about right.
Not- Terminator 1 came out in 1984.
Yeah, I think
E.T. Definitely not a comedy.
E.T.? Yeah, I think maybe E.T. I don't know. 84 was a monster year for films. Monster year.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Cheech and Chong movie, the original Dune, Last Starfighter, Red Dawn.
Yes, Revenge of the Nerds was 1984.
Yeah, Revenge of the Nerds. The Great Ewok movie. Adventure.
What? Oh, yeah.
The Ewok Adventure. Okay.
I remember those.
Wait, I love that movie, man.
That's what we got to make them watch next.
Missing in Action. Gremlins. Yeah, oh, yeah. There's,
oh, there you go.
Conan the Barbarian.
Raiders, right?
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Yep. Splash. Never Ending Story.
Oh, what a great year.
Yeah. The Karate Kid. Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, okay.
You're never going to get it. You're never going to get
it. Nightmare on Elm Street.
You're never going to get a year like that again. Never with that much.
No, if you look at from like 1984 to like 1989, 88, there's almost every single year. Like 1987 is another year of just hit after hit.
Well, it's because they threw a bunch, because the difference between now and then is it was a bunch of original movies that they threw at you and not just a bunch of IP
reboots
that they're rebooting.
I agree with that 100%. Nothing seems original anymore.
Well, 84 did have Temple of Doom, which is IP, and I love it.
It's dude, definitely
Temple of Doom is awesome. Yeah,
definitely, not bad.
It's definitely hard to put out something nowadays that you're just like, wow, that was amazing. It's rare.
It's hard, man.
It just came out last week. It's called Roadhouse.
Did you watch it, Carl? Of course you did.
I did.
Of course he did. And he liked it.
And I did like it.
You liked it.
It's rare, man.
Maybe. Wait, when did Roadhouse come out? What year was that?
87.
87?
Right in that window.
It sounds like we have at least two movies that we have done now, or we haven't done Roadhouse. We did Rollerball. We should watch the updated version of Rollerball and compare it.
No.
I saw that movie in theaters. Yeah.
Oh my. No.
And we can compare and contrast the original Roadhouse to the remake of Roadhouse.
But see, the problem is I love the original. I have a problem when there's a movie that I absolutely love and they make either a sequel so many years later.
Right.
Or they reboot it. I'm going to go in with a bunch of hate towards it because I'm like, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I still refuse to watch the sequel to Dumb and Dumber because I love the original so much.
I agree.
Watch the sequel. I was burned by Independence Day Resurgence. After that, I was like,
oh, I was expecting that to be bad. It was
same director.
I didn't go into that thinking, it's going to be as good as Independence Day.
I do have high hopes for Beetlejuice Part 2.
I have high hopes for that. It looks pretty good.
That's because it has the goodwill we all feel toward Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Right.
Where that's what got me on the sequel. Like when I was told about it, I was going like, what the fuck? I don't want to see another Beetlejuice movie. But just seeing him pop out at the end and and say that line, I said, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. Once he said the juice is loose, I'm like, yes.
Yeah. And then, like, Top Gun Maverick was incredible. I don't know how many years, you know, later. There are a handful.
Incredible, really? It was.
I thought it was great.
It was
a great dream.
No, I'm telling you. I love
it. Oh, we're still talking about
I never liked the original Top Gun, yet I love the Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. And once again, I'll point out, it's because they did it right. They didn't make Maverick the same guy.
Yeah, he's older. He's there to teach them. He's more responsible. Yeah, it's character growth. That's what you want to see in anything. Character growth is the best.
He really wasn't like this center of the movie either. I feel like it was more revolved around like his students and like, you know, him kind of like letting his life just like fly by the seams. Yeah.
Right. Great dream.
With the stream nonsense.
Dude. No one's surviving Mach 10.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it.
You're on my side, Richie.
Fuck yeah. No one,
You know,
surviving Mach 1.
Okay, if you want to be critical for that one scene in every single Fast and the Furious movie, minus the first one, there's always a ridiculous scene where you're just like, that shit would never happen,
dude,
or they would never survive.
When cars are jumping from fucking building to building, I agree with you. There's
when cars are flying in space
and tanks.
Yeah.
When people are wearing diving suits as spacesuits.
Or yeah. When
cars are driving down buildings, like on the sides of buildings.
Yeah. Or when the Rock's in the hospital and he has that cast and he just breaks it. And then all of a sudden he grabs a Gatling gun. It's like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
He fixed his bones.
When cars are pulling safes.
Yeah. Through the busy streets of Rio de Janeiro.
Those movies are meant to be ridiculous. Top Gun is meant to be in the real world.
It's meant to be a dream.
Regardless if you think it's a dream sequence, it was still a great movie. You can give them that. It's just one scene that was unbelievable. Yeah, you're right. I agree. Still a good movie.
All right. Yeah,
it was a good movie.
All right. Great. Well, keep or delete. Would you watch this movie again?
No. Nope.
Fuck no.
Sure, I'll do it.
I'll watch it a bunch more times.
Carl. Oh,
yeah, I probably will.
Yeah. Carl, like, I just watched it today. I just watched it again today. Wanted it to be fresh.
What was that? I watched it in my car. It's a great movie.
All right.
It's terrible.
Agree to disagree.
Absolutely terrible.
Scholars maintain that it was lost in translation.
But I love it.
We all have our things. This is just not mine.
Agree to disagree. I don't think anybody knows what it means.
No one knows what it means. No, it means Saint Diego.
scholars said it was lost in translation.
All right. Well, that wraps up the old top secret. Top secret.
Wow.
Next week.
Keep it secret.
What movie are we doing next week?
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Starring
Michael Caine.
Michael Myers and Nancy Travis and Michael Myers.
Yep.
And one of the great, great cameos of Phil Hartman.
Yeah,
and, there is a number of cameos in this movie. We will talk about those cameos when we do the movie.
Yes.
Our email address, if you want to make a movie suggestion, tell us we're idiots, disagree with everything, tell us to stop podcasting.
Destroymail@gmail.com.
No, it is flashbackfaceoff@gmail.com. Flashbackfaceoff@gmail.com.
Triple F.
And you can tell email and say, Carl, stop fucking liking every fucking movie.
I didn't like the last one.
Yeah, he didn't like.
He didn't like that. He was the only one who didn't like the last one.
It made him like super angry. Remember, like
what was the last one?
Yes,
the Little Monsters.
Little Monsters.
Oh, we all thought that it was okay in parts.
Yeah, Carl wanted to kill.
Carl,
I've never seen him so angry.
He was so mad. I loved it, Carl. Hey, I loved it because you have that silver lining in pretty much every movie, and for you to like hate a movie, it made me feel
except
good.
For this one,
some movies I go into hating them, like this one and Buckaroo Banzai, but to watch you hate on a movie, it felt pretty good. One of us.
There's some movies that I go in hating, like Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah,
so it was just so you know, it was the 36th anniversary. I believe of Rad.
I'm sure a
Rad reference every episode.
Man, I missed that. I'm sure it was all over social media.
It was. I saw a clip and it was the bicycle dance.
Not even like
the bicycle dance scene.
Do you celebrate every year? 36.
At some point, Richie's gonna get his wish, and he's gonna make everyone watch that movie. And Carl wanted to kill a movie. You're all gonna want to kill Richie.
Oh, hey, was there a cat on your lap, or are you just happy to see us?
Hey, some of these movies I've seen. I mean, the bar's pretty low. That's all I'm gonna say. So.
Well, shit, Rad will, you know, makes this last movie look like a fucking Oscar winner.
Richie, there is no way Rad is anywhere near as good as this movie. And you, everyone's going to agree with that, but you.
It's all right.
You don't understand, fellas, you don't understand how bad that fucking movie is.
It was awesome.
Is it on your phone?
It is.
Of course it is.
It is. So is North Shore. We're friends, tree friends, right. Mobetta.
I like the North Shore. That was a good one.
Yeah, North Shore was good.
We need more. We need more like sleepy hits like that. Not these terrible movies we just saw.
It's not all of them have been bad.
Yeah.
No. We didn't put them out, dude.
Buckaroo. And this one was pretty terrible.
What else? That's did we funny. Do? All right, that's it. I'm Richie.
I'm Jim.
Carl.
Jason.
And Ray.
Good night, Fan Nation.
Fan Nation.
Fanation.
Fanation. That's right. Hi, Fanation.